with me to James chapter 3, verse 1. And as we continue to talk on marriage, we're ending this series by answering your questions. And so you can take your cell phones, and if you text, we have a slide up here. I don't know the number, so there you go, 44622, and put the subject SFH marriage, and you can text your question after the subject. We'll get that question. Submit whatever you want to submit. It has to do with family, marriage, life, children, and we're going to take the best questions, and at the end of the series, we are going to answer the questions, all right, because we want to make sure we're answering the questions people are asking. So please help yourself to that, and we're going to do that. But I'm going to be talking about some keys to a stronger relationship over the next few weeks. And we're just going to look at a couple of things, a couple of principles. They're not going to probably be groundbreaking to you. They're basic. We've probably heard them all before. But we need to, at times, we need to come back to the basics, because it's the basic disciplines that will keep us going through the most difficult times of our life. So we can't forget the basic things. I want you to understand that, number one, that there is nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. Nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. You want success in marriage, I tell you, you need God in your marriage. You need God, all right? We need principles. We need all these other things, but we need God in our marriages. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our marriages. And I tell you, that's what will set us apart. Now, in James chapter 3, verse 1, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, and if you can follow along with me. But it says here, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we could be perfect and be able to control ourselves in every other way." Now, that's a powerful statement right there. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. How many know there's nobody perfect here? Because I don't think there's any of us that can control our tongues. Our tongues are the most difficult thing for us to control. And when you think about that, if we could just control, it didn't say if we could control our thoughts, if we could control our emotions, but if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. God help us. We've all been in that place where we've said something and we thought, why did I just say that? I wish I could take it back. Some of you have been there where you said it and you said, well, I've already got that out. I'm just going to let the rest of it out. I went this far. I'll just go all the way. It's our tongues and the things that we say. Now, it continues on by saying, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." Wow, that is powerful. Our tongue set on fire by hell itself. I'm telling you today, we have got to put a guard over our mouth. We got to put a guard over what we say. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or does a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. I tell you, our words, the words that we speak are so important, and we have got to be so careful today that we are going to speak words of life, words of encouragement into our families. You know, the scripture was talking there and saying that like a rudder on a ship. If you look at a ship, the rudder on a ship is so small compared to the size of the ship, all right? It tells us that that rudder can turn the ship into the wind. When the storm is blowing, that rudder can turn the ship. And you know, today in our lives, when the storms of life come blowing, do you know that the words that we speak will determine the direction that our life is going to go? Your marriage, if your marriage is going to hell, if your marriage is falling apart, If the storms of life are battering your marriage, the words you speak into your relationship can determine whether or not you're just going to go with it or whether you're going to turn around and you're going to go against it. When things look impossible, you can speak words that will say, I'm going to head into the storm. I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to give up. You may be looking at your relationship today and say, why is my life such a mess? Why is my marriage such a mess? What are the words that you're speaking? What are the words that you're speaking? Because your words will definitely begin to frame your life. So I want to look at three things this morning. We're going to kind of reference that here and there. But number one I want to talk about is that understand that men and women communicate differently. Men and women communicate differently. As a father, I have two boys and a girl. And I definitely saw the difference between when my boys started talking and when my girl started talking. My daughter started talking much earlier than my sons did. And I think that's just the way that God has wired women. Women love to talk. And all the women said, amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? You know, the Bible even says, you read in the Bible where it actually said that the women need to stay quiet in church. And the reason was is that in those days, you know, the men would sit separately than the women. There's still churches that do that. The men sit on one side, the women sit on the other side. But the ladies couldn't stay quiet. They were talking to their husbands during the services because the ladies love to talk. And God has communicated, God has wired them differently than how men. You know, when you think about guys can sit around and do nothing together and be completely satisfied. Guys can sit around and hardly say anything to each other, and they had a good time. If ladies get together and no one says anything, somebody's mad. I was thinking about it. You know, a guy can say, hey, let's hang out. Meet at the mall. Meet another guy at the mall. Shake hands. Walk into the movie theater. Sit two seats apart because guys always need that neutral seat apart. And we can sit apart, watch a movie together. Shake hands, that was a great movie, and leave and say, boy, I sure had a great time hanging out with him. That was some quality time. What'd you talk about? Nothing, but it was a good movie. That's how guys are. You know, not once have I heard my wife ever say, I need to spend some time with my girlfriends or whatever, we're going to go to the movies. That's not how my wife is. My wife, if she's going to spend time with somebody, she can take a cup of coffee and sit at Starbucks and make that cup last for 6 hours. And I know that at the end of that 6 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, she knows practically everything about that girl. And that girl knows practically everything about her and probably everything about me. Because women open up. Women open up. Guys can sit around and talk about absolutely nothing. They're talking, but it's about nothing. I hear that, whether I'm at the golf course or wherever guys gather, and you hear guys talk, and they'll talk about the stupidest things. There's absolutely no depth in it. And guys will tease each other and rag on each other and have discussions about their golf game or how their hunting was or how the diving was, and they can talk about all of these surface things, but they have a hard time going deeper, whereas women can naturally open up. You know, in my small group, my men's small group that I do, I mean, I don't got guys crying. Guys are talking. We do our highs and our lows, and we just go through it. We finish in an hour. My women's group, my wife's group's a lot different. Man, she'll tell me, man, they're, you know, highs and lows, man. Just in the beginning, someone starts crying already and opening up. And they're lucky if they can finish in an hour. Because ladies are looking for that. They communicate differently. So the problem is that when you get two people that communicate differently and they need to get together and they need to live together, how is that going to work? How is that going to work? Men will tend to internalize why women want to verbalize. When we have our problems as guys, we are pretty much fine keeping quiet. Guys can go out. You can go on a camping trip. You can be with men for 3 days and not get into what is the challenges. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks, your life is falling apart, you're filing for bankruptcy, your kids don't want to talk to you, yet you can go and hang out with the guys and everyone can think everything's okay, you had a great time. Because we will internalize our problems. And men have a harder time opening up. Isn't that right, men? See, they can't even open up right now. That's just how guys are. I tell you, when I sit down to counsel a husband and a wife, I'll start with the wife because she will spill the beans right away. Right away. She's just going to pour it out, and the guy will just sit there quiet, not say anything. Usually takes the guy about 30, 40 minutes before, okay, now we're getting his side of the story. That's how we're wired. Nothing wrong with it. That's how we're wired, and we need to recognize the differences. But women want to verbalize. And I tell you guys, one of the things that I had to learn in my marriage early on is that all my wife wants me to do is listen to her. That's all she wants me to do. Because as men, we have a tendency, we want to fix everything. We're fixers. Even when we don't know how to fix it, we want to fix it, right? You got a leak? I don't need a plumber. I can fix that, right? I can go on YouTube and figure it out. All right, we'll get it. You know, we're fixers. That's what we want to do. And so before, my wife would just want to talk with me, and she'd start telling me something or her problem or whatever it is. Two minutes in, hang on. We don't need to talk about it. All you need to do, babe, you just need to do this, you need to do that, and you need to tell him that. And she used to get so upset at me. Stop telling me what to do. And then I come back, well, then don't tell me your problems unless you want me to tell you what to do. So I'm just thinking about you. And I had to learn. All she wanted me to do, she didn't want me to fix the problem. In fact, she didn't even want to go out and fix the problem. She just wanted me to listen to her. And if she could just get her words out, if she could just verbalize what she was going through, and if I would just listen to it, she'd feel a lot better. And I had to learn that. And sometimes, guys, we forget that, you know, maybe our wives are with the kids all day, and we're out working or we're out hanging out with the guys, and we're doing all of our stuff, and we're getting our words out, and we get home, we're tired. Well, she's been with the kids all day. She hasn't had any adult conversation. You're the first one there. Guess what? You better get ready to listen. Because if you don't, she's going to get upset at you. I just came back from a trip yesterday. I was gone for a couple of days. And you know, flying back is a long flight, being crammed. And I had two seats trying to sleep on that. You know, it's like a human pretzel trying to fit in there and uncomfortable. I get home, I'm tired. But, you know, last night, I said, I better make sure that I listen. And we were laying in bed, and although I was tired, my wife just started talking and just kind of saying about some of the problems and what happened during the week and with the kids and all of this stuff. And, you know, it wouldn't be for me to say, hey, why not, you know, I'm tired. Can we talk about this later? No, I listened. I stayed up. I listened. I engaged in conversation. I let her verbalize what happened. And, men, we have got to learn that. And I know I'm not wired that way. I don't need the details. You know, babe, I don't need the details. I trust you. You got it, you know. House didn't burn down. It's all good, you know. But I learned, I got to listen. I just got to listen because she wants to verbalize. But, you know, ladies, we need to also remember that that as guys, we're not always ready to tell you everything in our life. We're not always ready to open up right away. And so just be patient with us. Be patient. Like I said, when I counsel guys, it usually takes about 45 minutes before the husband will open up. And just learn how to be patient and don't try to get everything out at one time. And just realize that when you create a good atmosphere, your husband will eventually begin to open up to you when he knows that he can trust you. You know, I've talked to men, and it's amazing to me how many men say now they won't open up to their wife because they did before, and their wife tore them down with their words. The wife tore them down. And you would think big guys are tough. I tell you, men are some of the most sensitive when it comes to words, and especially the words from their wife. Whether they want to admit it or not, wives, your words make all the difference. And your husband may have a wall up because of something you said 3 years ago, and he says, I'm never going to let her hurt me like that again. I'm never going to open up to her like that again. And some of you wives, you need to go back to your husband and ask for forgiveness because there's a wound there and he's not wanting to open up. And being a guy, he can be fine closing up and not opening up to you. But he needs to open up to you. He needs to open up to you. So do your best. Is that okay? You guys just got quiet all of a sudden. I had the women with me, and now they're like, you know, first it was, he's a prophet, and I was like, no, this guy don't know what he's talking about. Here's another thing. Men are bullet points. Women are details. Men are bullet points. Women are details. My wife has an amazing anointing on her life to take a one-minute story and turn it into a 15-minute story. It takes a gift. I can take a one-minute story and turn it into a 10-second story. Because I'm going to hit the important parts. My wife wants to know everything. And ladies love the details. They love the details. And my wife has gotten upset at me a number of times because, you know, maybe something happened. And I tell her the story and I give her the Evan version. I feel that I'm giving her the most important parts because I don't want to waste her time. She's a busy woman. I don't want to waste her time. I'm going to give her the important parts, and then she'll come back to me a couple days later. Why did so-and-so tell me this? How come you didn't tell me that? And I'm just like, because that's not important. But I had to learn. She wants to know. And so now I am trying so hard to reprogram my mind to throw in every little detail of what happens in my life. You know, husbands, if your wife asks you how your day was, she doesn't want to just hear you say, good. Right? Guys, right, I ask you how your day was. All I want you to tell me is good or bad. We'll figure it out from there. But women, if I say, how's your day? Good. She's going to get mad. Says, well, what happened? What happened in your day? And really, what they really want to know is, you know, how was your day? Well, I woke up at 6 o'clock. And as I opened my eyes, laying in bed, I stared at the ceiling. And really, I had a little bit of insecurity with the day coming. You know what your wife would do? She'd, really? Tell me, where did that insecurity come from? Now, if a bunch of men got together and talked like that, you're not going to have any friends. But women, they want to know. They want to, husbands, they want to know what you felt. They want to know your emotions, and we have a hard time connecting our emotions with things, right? So it's good, bad, da, da. They want to know the details. And so, husbands, I encourage you, be detailed. Get into it. Let your wife know how you felt. Let your guard down. It's okay. And then, wives, if he lets his guard down, don't attack him. Don't attack him. Just encourage him. And you're going to begin to foster better communication in your life. And so, When you get to that place, and again, wives, just remember, your husband may not be a detailed person all the time. So when you tell your story, keep it a little shorter. And there's nothing wrong with that. And sometimes I got to tell my wife, babe, can you just give me the short version? Because I lost what we're even talking about. And it's just the honest to God truth. And I think we got to realize from both ends. You guys with me this morning yet? Half of you. Second thing is this, speak words of life. Speak words of life. You hear the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That cannot be farther from the truth. Words can damage, words can destroy, and words can tear you down. There are people in this room today, you could be in your 40s, you could be in your 50s, and your paradigm, your view on life and who you are has been warped, it's been changed because of words someone spoke to you when you were a child. There are people here, you could say, I hate my ears. Why is that? Because when I was a kid, somebody teased me about my ears, teased me about my nose, teased me about my eyes. And you say, I hate it. I'm so self-conscious of it, while yet no one else would ever think anything. It was the words that were spoken. And there are these insecurities that are bred in our life because of words. Proverbs 18:20 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life, but those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I want to encourage you this morning to be a life speaker. Be a life speaker. Speak words of life. Look at your neighbor and say, speak words of life. Speak words of life. You know, with your children, speak words of life. With our spouses, speak words of life. And in our culture, in Hollywood, in movies, it's actually humorous. The funny guy is the one that tears everybody else down, making those comments. And we laugh about it. And we may even be that way where we make all these jokes and we tear people down, but then you just say, well, you know, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. There's husbands that can demean their wife or wives that could demean their husband and then just say, no, but I'm just joking. But you know, we don't realize that those words will begin to hurt. Even when someone is joking, it can begin to hurt and it can begin to affect us. We got to speak words of life. We got to speak words that are positive. You know, we said it earlier about the tongue. I tell you, our tongue can make a huge difference in our relationships. In fact, I would go as far to say that our words are the fuel of our relationship. It's the fuel of our relationship. And when you have good words, the engine will run smooth. Bad words and your cylinders are going to start to misfire. And I want to encourage you today, don't speak ill words about your spouse to other people. Don't speak ill words to your family, to your friends. Don't tear your spouse down. Don't tear them down. Now, you may have issues, you may have problems. It's okay to talk to the right people about your problems, but don't tear them down. Don't do that. Speak words of life. With your children, speak words of life. Parents, your words mean more to your kids. The words you speak will impact them more than the words that anyone else speaks. In fact, I believe if people are speaking negative things to your kids, your word, because you have the authority, God has positioned you in your life, your words can void the other words. But as parents, you may say, well, I don't say negative words to my kids. Well, that's fine. But if you're not speaking positive words, because I tell you, they're hearing negativity out there somewhere, we got to make sure that the blessing will always overcome the curse. And we want to be sure that we're speaking words of blessing, speaking words of blessing over our kids. And I tell my kids, I say, man, you're good looking. You're smart. You're great. We want to speak those kind of words and do our very best. And same thing with your spouse. Make sure you're doing that. You're not tearing them down, but you're lifting them up. How many affairs have probably been started because of a spouse that was not getting words of life? And someone else out there started speaking those words to them. Someone started sweet-talking them. You know that our souls will gravitate towards people that speak words of life? Honestly? I'm not saying this pridefully. I'm just saying this as a matter of fact in our church. People come to the church because I speak words of life. If I stood up here and I spoke negativity, that would drive you away. You wouldn't be saying, hey, to your friends, hey, come. Come and hear my pastor, man. He just tears everybody down. You're having a good day, man? We'll turn that day around. No, it's words of life. And that's as a you know, pastors, it's very important, the words that we speak, because our words can bring hope. But I want to tell you, as Christians, it's very important. And how many spouses have been drawn away? Their hearts have been stolen because somebody was speaking words of life and there was that void. I want to be sure with my children, with my wife, that I'm not tearing them down, but I'm going to speak words of life, because I don't want to leave a door for anyone else to come in. I want to make sure that void is filled, that need is filled, and we have that need. Husbands and wives, speak words of life to one another. Can I get an amen on that? And the last thing is this, number three, this is important, save the best for last. Make healthy deposits into your heart. Make healthy deposits into your heart. Husbands, wives, make healthy deposits into your heart. Single people, make healthy deposits into your heart. Here's the reason why. It says in Matthew 12:33, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, he was talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I believe that our eyes and our ears and our mind are pathways to our heart. And let me ask you this question. Are you depositing the right things into your heart? Because whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. And if you're here and you say, boy, I got a problem with my mouth, and there are people that will admit it, I got a problem with my mouth, I'll say, well, let's take one step back and let's look what you're putting into your heart. What are you listening to with your ears? What kind of music, what kind of conversations are you putting yourself into? What are you watching with your eyes? What kind of thoughts are you entertaining in your mind? You're entertaining lustful thoughts. You're entertaining other things that you shouldn't be thinking of. What are you doing? What are you letting in through those gates? Because that's making a deposit in your heart. And Jesus told us right there, whatever is in your heart is going to come out. So if your relationship today, if your marriage is going through a hard time, I tell you, we got to take one step back and look at what we're saying, but we take another step back and say, what are we depositing? It's very important that we begin to deposit the right things. Now, I was in a great conference this last week in New Zealand. It hooked up with a great church there, and I just feel there were some great deposits in my life. And what I realized is this, is that whoever we surround ourselves with is going to begin to influence who we are. It's going to begin to influence who we are. And as I was there, I began to realize these are the people that I want to surround myself with because it will influence who I am. And they said this statement, talking to pastors. He said, if you're the smartest one in your group, it's time for you to find a new group. You never want to be the smartest one in your group. And that really impacted me. And yesterday, as I was walking around, I was thinking about that, thinking about this message. And I thought to myself, we could apply this even in marriage. If you are the happiest couple, if you're the most knowledgeable couple in your group, it's time to find a new group. And here's the reason why. Marriage, like life, is a never-ending process. You're never going to make it. You're never going to reach that point after 15 years. All right, we made 15 years. We're solid. We're never going to fall apart. We got everything figured out. Yeah, right. My wife and I, we're going to be 14 years in 2 months. We're still learning. We're still learning. And it's a never-ending process. And that's why it's important that you surround yourself with people that you want to be like. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. We got to do that. I tell you, one of the best things a young couple can do is find another couple out there that's happy. Find that older couple. Maybe they've been married for 30 years, 35 years. Find that couple. Can we take you out to coffee? Can we take you out to dinner? Can you come over to our house? And have them come over. Ask them questions. Ask how they work their problems out. And just let them speak into your life and let them be a model for your relationship. Let me try this side. If you're having a hard time in your... They don't care. If you're having a hard time. If you're having a hard time in your relationship, find a couple that's doing good. All right? We know there's no perfect couples, but find a couple that knows how to work out their problems and hang around with those people. Let that rub off on you. If you're getting your counsel from people that are just as messed up as you are, you're going to be in trouble. And I know it's funny, but it's what people do all the time because it's where they're comfortable. It's their friends. It's their peers. We got to stop going to our peers and we got to start finding people that are living how we want to be living and let them begin to influence us. Get out of the comfort zone and say, man, I want to connect with you. I want you to speak into our lives. You know, if we have a problem, you should all have that couple that you say, if my wife and I ever have a problem, this is who we're going to go to. This is who we're going to. I'm talking to one of the speakers that we have come speak at our church, you know, just solid ministry, solid guy, well-known around the world. And yet he even told me that there's a pastor. If him and his wife ever have a problem, they're going to go to that pastor. And whatever the judgment from that pastor is, that's what they're going to follow. And I looked at that. I said, wow, to be able to submit yourself to someone like that. And I tell you, if you're married or you're single, make sure you find that person. Find that person you can connect with. Man, that $10 you might pay for Starbucks could make all the difference in your life to let that person begin to influence you, to begin to make that deposit into your life. At times, we put ourselves into toxic environments around friends that complain about their spouses, dishonor their spouses, tear them down, and you just sit there and you listen to it. I tell you, eventually, those deposits will begin to influence your life. Another example. We're going to close, but this church, you may be here, you say, I love this church. You may say, I love my pastors. I don't see why you wouldn't. But as much as you think I love this church, I love our pastors, I love the leaders, I guarantee you that if you started meeting with someone every day that talked bad about me, my wife, this church, and the leaders of this church, eventually your heart will turn. Eventually. It may not happen right away, but if you let it deposit into your life, sooner or later, your heart will turn. And I've seen that happen in churches, and I share that to say this. It's the same thing in your marriage. If you hang around people that are tearing down their spouses, tearing down your spouse, and you start buying into that, sooner or later, your heart will turn. Sooner or later, your heart will turn. You got to find the right people to speak into your life and into your relationships. When I counsel anyone, I refuse to get into a gripe fest. I'm not there to listen to somebody complain. We're here to work something out. Why? Because I don't want to pollute my heart with that negativity, with those thoughts, and with those attitudes. I want to make the right deposit in my ears, in my eyes, and in my mind. You see, and it's the same thing with you. There are certain people that you just got to decide today, I'm not going to talk with them anymore. I can't meet with them anymore. We can't talk about this kind of stuff anymore because they're pulling me down. It's affecting me. I got to get around people that will speak words of life into my marriage, words of life into my situation, words of life into my family. I tell you, that will begin to set you apart. That will begin to set you apart because most people don't think that way. And I want to encourage you today. You want to have happily ever after in your life. Get around people that you want to be like. Get around people that you think, I want that marriage. I want that relationship. I want to be like them. I want to model after them. I tell you, it's a spiritual principle today. You get around those people, it's going to influence you. It'll make all the difference. Amen. Won't you bow your hearts with me this morning? Ask yourself that question. God, what are you speaking to my life this morning? What are you speaking to my life? Every single one of us here, we face that. We face the challenges, the challenge of our tongue, the challenge of our words, the challenge of our paradigms and how we view the world. We all face that because we live in a negative world. We have a negative slant. But I tell you, we got to take our tongue as that rudder and really determine where we're going to take our life, determined by the words we speak. Determine that we're going to speak blessings and not cursings. We're going to declare that our God is more than enough, that our God is able to declare that there's hope for our marriage, hope for our life, hope for our children. Even when the situation doesn't look that way, to declare it in Jesus' name. And I want to pray over you this morning. I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand because every single one of us, myself included, we're working on that. We're working on our tongue. It's a never-ending thing. And I just want to pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. You see husbands and wives, the men and the women here today, the single people, Lord, even the children. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just open our eyes to see the impact that our words can have in our life. And Lord, as a church here, Lord, I pray that we will be so cautious and so careful to speak words that don't tear people down, but words that build people up. With our husbands and wives, that we'll speak words that will encourage one another. Lord, that we will fill that need. We wonder, why is my spouse gravitating away from me? Lord, that we'll begin to speak those words and just begin to pull them back in. Lord, we know that kind words can soothe a bitter soul. Lord, I pray that we'll be those people that can rise above and to speak those words into our lives, into our storms, into our children. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, this morning, just for a few moments, I just ask no one walk around.